in the flesh, worshiping our Heavenly Father, or virtually, if you're unable to be here, we're glad that you are with us. As we have been going through the book of 1 John, we are in chapter 5, if you'd like to go ahead and turn with me there. 1 John 5. It is a new year, and the word is new every morning. We, Kira's right, I'm going to laugh about that all day. It's like I haven't seen you in a year. That was so funny. That was real good. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to encourage other people in their bad jokes, but I can't help it. And so if you don't want bad jokes, don't encourage me in my bad jokes. There are some of you who do, though, and it's not good for everybody. Anyway, 1 John chapter 5. We're talking about witnesses. Witnesses are an interesting concept, especially because we still utilize them to this day. Witnessing is an important aspect. We have laws, in fact, regarding perjury. And while I wish they were more stringent, perhaps more like the laws in the Old Testament concerning perjury, that if you committed perjury, whatever would have been against the person who you committed perjury towards, it gets done to you. So whatever the penalty would have been, you receive that penalty instead. I think there'd be a few less perjurers if we were a little more serious about the witnessing that people demonstrate. But, you know, a few nights in prison or jail, in fact, frequently doesn't deter people. But the Old Testament really did, but that's neither here nor there, I suppose. I thank you, Toby, the man in black, for our scripture reading. Here in 1 John chapter 5, if you'd like to follow along with me here, 1 John chapter 5, we pick up in verse 6. Verse 6, he says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." I love that. Because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, he says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one." We're going to stop there for a moment. These three are one, the uniformity of the Trinity. Not that they are the same. In fact, each of the elements of the Trinity serve a different function. They perform a different role, but all of them work united in their purpose, in what they accomplish, and in their united love for the body of Christ, for Christians today. He begins technically with the Spirit, but we're going to move to the first of the three that he talks about. He says that there are three that bear witness in heaven. Now, what are they bearing witness of? If you go back, we see that he is talking about Jesus being the Christ. Because remember, Christ is not his last name. Christ is a title. Christ is another word for Messiah, or the one predicted. Right? So, and when you're talking about Jesus, you can call him the Christ. You can call him Jesus Christ, even. The Bible does that. But it's not his last name. It's not like Joseph's last name was Christ. Joseph probably didn't have a last name in the strictest sense. He would have been the son of whoever his dad was, or even the carpenter. Ironically enough, that's where many last names came from. When the immigrants came from other places, they utilized the role that they played in the community, the job that they performed as a last name, which is why you have carpenter and so many others like that. But here, he is talking about a witness of something in particular. And if you go back to 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit that bears witness is true, he says. So there are three that bear witness of what? Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one predicted from the beginning of time, even back in the garden. Before man was removed from the garden, there was a prediction by God that came obviously to pass, because God's predictions always come to pass, that he predicted one who would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Jesus performing that role, taking away the power of the devil in sin, in the ability for us to be redeemed from that sin. The devil would no longer have sway in the same way that he did before. But he would get his licks in, I suppose, and the devil did pursue Jesus' death, but thankfully not a death that would keep him from doing his work, but in fact one that he was raised from the dead from, we'll talk about in just a bit. He says, these three bear witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So the first here, he says the Father. The Father bears witness that Jesus is the Christ. You have to remember what John is inevitably talking about here. Most of the book of 1 John is written not only to encourage the saints, but in a particular way. That much of what 1 John is writing concerning is the issues of Gnosticism, of people feeling like they know more than the Bible does, of the Word of God and of God ultimately. Like they've been given specific revelation and they have been given additional things and information that normal people aren't given. Well, you just aren't enlightened enough. Well, God hasn't blessed you with that yet. But one day maybe you will, or maybe you won't, and you'll always be in the dark. And John says, that's not how it works. John says that's not how it is. And the number of times he uses the word know, you can know. You can know with all certainty. You can know for certain and all surety that these things are true. And so he makes several promises. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Jesus Christ cleanses us in his blood from our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1 and verse 9. He goes on in 2 to talk about how we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You can know these things for sure and for certain that they are because God has witnessed to these things in many capacities. Think about the words of Nicodemus in John 3. Most people, when they think about John 3:16, they think it's kind of said out into the air. Like this was just one of Jesus' sermons. In fact, it's not. It's a communication. It's a dialogue between him and Nicodemus. And in John 3, what does Nicodemus say when he comes by night to see Jesus? He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus had it right. And while we don't see Nicodemus following Jesus as the 12, we don't see him following in the same way as many others who would take a tertiary role in the nature of the kingdom moving forward, we do see Nicodemus come back later. So we don't know what Nicodemus does, but there's obviously a relationship building there and a commitment that Nicodemus has, because when Jesus dies, John tells you that it's not just Joseph of Arimathea that takes Jesus's or goes and petitions for Jesus's body, but Nicodemus. Can you imagine? At the height of the Jews feeling good about what is taking